It was very near, but not yet in sight, when, in addition to the tramp, tramp, I heard a rush under the hedge, and close down by the hazel stems glided a great dog, whose black and white colour made him a distinct object against the trees. It was exactly one mask of Bessie's Gytrash, a lion-like creature with long hair and a huge head. It passed me, however, quietly enough, not staying to look up with strange preter-canine eyes in my face, as I half expected it would. The horse followed, a tall steed, and on its back a rider. The man, the human being, broke the spell at once. Nothing ever rode the Gytrash. It was always alone, and goblins, to my notions, though they might tenant the dumb carcasses of beasts, could scarce covet shelter in the commonplace human form. No Gytrash was this, only a traveller taking a short cut to Milcote. He passed and went on. A few steps and I turned. A sliding sound and an exclamation of, "What the deuce is to do now?" and a clattering tumble arrested my attention. Man and horse were down. They had slipped on the sheet of ice which glazed the causeway. The dog came bounding back, and seeing his master in a predicament, and hearing the horse groan, barked till the evening hills echoed the sound, which was deep in proportion to his magnitude. He sniffed round the prostrate group, and then he ran up to me. It was all he could do. There was no other help at hand to summon. I obeyed him and walked down to the traveller, by this time struggling himself free of his steed. His efforts were so vigorous I thought he could not be much hurt, but I asked him the question, "Are you injured, sir?" I think he was swearing, but I am not certain. However, he was pronouncing some formula which prevented him from replying to me directly. "Can I do anything?" I asked again.
"You must just stand on one side,"
he answered as he rose, first to his knees and then to his feet. I did, whereupon began a heaving, stamping, clattering process, accompanied by a barking and baying which removed me effectually some yards' distance. But I would not be driven quite away till I saw the event. This was finally fortunate. The horse was re-established, and the dog was silenced with a "Down, pilot!" The traveller, now stooping, felt his foot and leg, as if trying whether they were sound. Apparently something ailed them, for he halted to the stile whence I had just risen and sat down. I was in the mood for being useful, or at least officious, I think, for I now drew near him again. "If you are hurt and want help, sir, I can fetch someone either from Thornfield Hall or from Hay."
"Thank you. I shall do. I have no broken bones, only a sprain."
And again he stood up and tried his foot, but the result extorted an involuntary, "Oh!"